At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread, and the only thing you'll think is delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises, just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Hello and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne Match Day. My name's Taylor Payne and it's the first competitive away fixture of the Matthias Yeisler era against the new-look Tottenham Hotspur. Sandro Tonali starts for Spurs against his former club and they'll be desperate to reverse their recent poor form against Newcastle. Let's get stuck straight into the action.
Newcastle win it back in the middle of midfield through Lewis Miley from their next Spurs pass, so they have possession again. How do they win here? Is there something that they can do with a substitute or the players they have out there? Maybe one of these. Nico Gonzalez looking for Dedic, who heads it inside. And here is Elanga on the turn. Hits the post and in! Anthony Elanga on the turn.
That's what they do.
Hit it with his left across Kinski. Off the far post, it rolled along the goal line and then inside the other post. Elanga's brilliant start to the season continues. 2-2 in the Premier League and they break the deadlock in North London, and it came about from another long diagonal ball. Nico Gonzalez has been playing those all afternoon. Brilliant debut from the Spanish midfielder. Wissa has won a corner kick and gets great reception from the away supporters next to that corner. A second goal now could be absolutely crucial. Hall with the delivery. They're looking for Miley and Valtamana. Back post and Wissa! Johan Wissa's flicked it in. The initial ball was towards Miley and Valtamana, and it was headed towards goal, and there was Wissa in front of the keeper to flick it in and score his first of the season after a productive start to the campaign in terms of performance. A goal has arrived for Newcastle's number nine, for Johan Wissa, and they have got a crucial second.
Okay, hello. Welcome to Pod on the Tyne, coming to you from Liverpool Street, one of London's worst stations. Really bad. Although it's got a nice glow today. There's some gloomy Tottenham fans making their way back to various parts of Essex. There's a lad over the way. I've just seen him. I'm pretty sure he's a Geordie ramming McDonald's into his face. He looks a bit happier. The reason he's happier is because Newcastle beat Spurs 2-0 at White Hart Lane. How did that go, Chris?
And you're Ollie, man. I don't think you've introduced yourself.
Well, everybody knows who I am now because I'm just a veteran now. I've done so many of these.
Well, exactly. Well, yes, so Chris Moffia. And yes, I'm just here from the Spurs Stadium. And Newcastle were thoroughly deserved 2-0 victors. Second half in particular, very good. First half, I thought, in attack, didn't really offer that much. Defensively, were decent. Although Spurs had a few chances. But second half, was really like the consummate away performance, exactly what you would like and expect. A rare clean sheet, which we'll come on to as well. Two goal scorers, the players who've been reborn this season, and a magnificent debut in midfield. And to top it all off, an absolutely pathetic performance from Sandro Tonali for the opposition. And the chance that were directed towards Alexander Isak at St James's Park last week were repurposed for Sandro Tonali today from the away end, and they definitely revelled in it. And one of the best moments of the game, other than the hilarious Matthias Tell free kick, which basically nearly left the stadium, it was that bad, was when Sandro Tonali left the field to cheers from the away end as well. So yes, quite the wonderful but also hilarious day from a Newcastle perspective.
Yeah, it was funny. We'll get back to the mood at the end, I think, maybe. But I'm going to put it to you that this game had three clear phases. The first of which lasted about 10 minutes, and it was like quite a sort of chaotic opening spell with two teams who are clearly getting to know each other still, same as Liverpool last week. But there was one move that looked quite fluid.
I assume you're referring to the one inside 30 seconds, which was basically the first time that Nico Gonzalez got the ball and introduced himself. And he's largely, as we've said before, a metronomic passer. But what he did show and became a carbon copy of Newcastle's opening goal to a degree, although I was actually finished off for the goal. We'll come on to that later. But he receives the ball. He asks for the ball off Sven Botman, turns, and then plays an inch-perfect diagonal crossfield ball to Amar Dedic, who plays inside to Anthony Elango, then crosses. Kinski had the weirdest dive I think I've ever seen. He sort of fell backwards and the ball eventually went out for a corner. But that was really the closest Newcastle came in the first half to scoring, aside from a couple of sort of half chances openings. The final ball was poor. But yeah, it was quite chaotic, and you can see that Spurs still don't exactly know what they wanted. It was a weird Spurs team. I think it was partly injury enforced, but also I think De Zerbi was conscious of how physical and athletic Newcastle are, and he basically played a team largely of midfielders. And to really terrify Newcastle fans, he also gave Omar Mamouche his debut. But then for once, Mamouche, who 7 of his 14 goals for Man City, including a hat-trick against Newcastle, he did not manage to score when he probably had a couple of opportunities he should have done better with.
Certainly two sort of square pegs in round holes on the right-hand side of the Tottenham side. And also Mamouche maybe not familiar with playing like completely up top. Maybe he's more familiar in a slightly deeper role. Anyway, The other thing about that first 10 minutes was Sandro Tonali gave the ball away 5 times and basically earned Van de Ven a yellow card.
Yes, it did seem to get to him, I think, whether that was the occasion, whether he's just still struggling with his new surroundings. I mean, De Zerbi afterwards sort of tried to defend him. He talked about loving Tonali, and then he again said that he's not physically at the right level despite having been with him since the start of pre-season. So unless he's carrying in some sort of injury or has had injuries, that's a very weird thing to say for a £100 million footballer or fee rising to £100 million. So yeah, he was poor in possession, and yeah, that moment where he received the ball from Bentancur and then just did not pass strongly enough towards Robertson and managed to get the free kick because Van de Ven scythed through Wisser. But I'm just going to recall a moment just before the game as well where it was slightly odd that Spurs have this very enthusiastic announcer who's like the pitch announcer, but he sort of does all the interviews on the pitch, and he was sort of speaking to Spurs legends. But then just before the game, as the teams were emerging, he did this big speech where it was like, but after the last two seasons, you know, we've spent big money, we've got all these players now, and Spurs are back. And it felt like a really weird sort of like, let's make sure everyone buying into this. And it was so weirdly received, I thought, within the stadium. Maybe that's just me reading too much into it. But obviously, the way that the game ended, Spurs were not quite back, and it does still feel like they are trying to find their own feet. And whether they're going to be this bad moving forward, I imagine not. But certainly, I think Newcastle have caught them at a good moment, at a ground that Newcastle like going to. It's 3 wins in a row that Newcastle have had here, 3 of the last 4 times they've come to Spurs. And Spurs are basically an opponent they like facing generally in modern history.
Yeah, Dr. Spurs, we love it. Right, that was phase one. Phase two lasted from about 10-15 minutes in until the hour mark, and it was sort of, if I could summarise it, I would say Spurs had all the ball, some good territory, and looked dangerous-ish at times, but they just didn't have any cutting edge up top, did they?
Yeah, I think the most of the first half, or at least that phase that you talk about, it was two teams who lacked quality, certainly in the final third. Newcastle got into some decent positions, as I said earlier, but then the final, I mean, their set-piece delivery for the most part was absolutely abysmal, other than the second goal they scored. Newcastle's analysts were sitting behind me, and there was a lot of expletives coming from them at certain points from moments like that, or poor decision-making in the final third. But from a Spurs perspective, yeah, I think as the first half wore on, they got stronger, and Newcastle actually didn't quite need half-time. I don't think they were desperate for it, but I think half-time suited them better than it did Spurs, because, yeah, they had a few of those openings. Mamouche had a couple of opportunities. Hornacek made a good, really good save from a header.
Made a couple of good saves.
Yeah, he looked composed. I thought it was his best performance. He looks like he's growing in confidence, but the Van Hecker one was a really good save. And yeah, so first half, you'd say Spurs probably just about shaded it. I wouldn't say they necessarily deserved to be ahead, but I'd say they probably shaded it on the balance of play. And you need to see more from Newcastle in the second half, and thankfully we did.
Yeah, all right, well, we'll do the second half in a minute. Even in that spell when Spurs were clearly the protagonists of the game, even whilst we were up against it away from home, I thought there were some good signs. I thought the passing in particular, not just Nico Gonzalez, but Lewis Miley, the back five, which has been retained for the third match in a row, I thought they all looked fairly comfortable, and there was some really neat stuff playing through the Tottenham press, and I thought we looked good on the ball, which you can't always say about Newcastle recently.
No, and that's something they're definitely trying to add into it, and I think Nico Gonzalez provides something there. I agree with you on Lewis Miley. I thought he was exceptional. All the headlines will go to Nico Gonzalez, understandably and rightly so, to a certain degree, but Lewis Miley is growing into that player we all felt that he could be and hoped he would be. Yesterday, he says, I'm not trying to put too much pressure on him, but what a midfielder. He has a bit of everything, and the blend looked nice today, that he could get up and down the pitch a little bit more than Nico Gonzalez. I mean, it was interesting in the first half, because Gonzalez, as I said, he played that crossfield ball, but generally most of it was sort of short and neat, as he usually is. His first 24 passes, all of them were accurate by the half-hour mark, all of them being accurate. He then tries to thread a ball through just on the stroke of half-time to Johan Wissa, which Spurs managed to cut out. But off the ball, you can see how difficult it was for him. I don't know if it came across on the TV, but there was several points in the first half where he was in regular dialogue with Yeisler on the touchline about where he needed to be, who he needed to track, what the points of the press were. And you have to remember, he's been here since Wednesday. He's had maximum two training sessions, and so he's come in and off the ball. For Newcastle to have had that defensive structure and for him to have slotted in there and that constant dialogue was impressive to witness. But I agree with you on the way Newcastle used the ball. I think that they were far better. They weren't as sloppy as they can be. They weren't giving it away that often in dangerous positions, whereas Spurs at certain points I thought did, and that was what was frustrating in the first half, that Newcastle actually won the ball quite a lot in the Spurs half but then didn't use it particularly well, whereas I didn't think that happened really in reverse.
Yeah, interestingly, even though we were not necessarily a great attacking threat throughout that spell, when we went direct, it did feel like maybe Spurs, you could get at them.
Yeah, and the way that Newcastle started the second half sort of gave you a bit of confidence, because it just felt like that they took a bit of the wind out of Spurs' sail to a certain degree, because Spurs started again quite quickly, but then still lacked direction, lacked exactly that fluidity that you would expect in the final third. And then Newcastle sort of grew in confidence a little bit. And when I say, I am now going to go on and describe a goal, whether you want me to or not.
Well, in a way, you've already described it, right? Because you've described the move at the start, but they did it again.
They did it again. I'm going to embellish it slightly and add in the extra bits of it. But yeah, so Nico Gonzalez receives the ball inside his own half and plays a very, very similar diagonal crossfield ball to Amar Dedic, who gets above Andy Robertson and manages to get his third assist in the last two games. Very impressive again, Dedic, how he just gets up and down, his engine, his ability on the ball. But he heads it back to Anthony Elanga. Can you recall who the marker was, who he lost to get into the box?
Well, I think we all know who it is, Chris.
We do all know it was Sandro Tonali. Burns Sandro Tonali, then flicks the ball back so that Sandro Tonali is sent in the other direction, and then spins 360 degrees and then hits a left-footed shot across goal, goes in off the post.
Hit it quickly on the turn as well. He turned and he hit it straight away and caught them all on the hop.
And it was one of those goals where there's a delayed reaction in the stadium, partly because it came off the post and it wasn't clear exactly where it was going to go, but also because I think a lot of the Newcastle fans probably couldn't see immediately that it had gone in. So there's a slight delayed reaction until Langer started running across them, and then obviously huge celebrations. And he looked elated. And I've got some stats on Elanga as well. I mean, he, as I say, as we said last week, he hadn't scored in the Premier League in the entirety of last season, 17 shots across 1,313 minutes in the league. This season, two games in, he's had four shots and he scored two of them. And he just, again, it's just that sliding doors moment of having scored the first game, but also just the confidence he seems to have, the way that he's used by Eisler. There's still a lot more to come, I think, because there's still some decision making, but that was huge for him and for Newcastle. And from that point on, I thought that Newcastle just got stronger and stronger.
Yeah, so that goal sort of kick-started the third phase, according to my thesis, where really from that point on, Newcastle really looked quite comfortable, didn't they?
They did, and again, though, not settling for what they had, Eisler made proactive substitutions. Willock, who I didn't think was as effective as he has been, he ran around a lot but carried it relatively well in the first half without then playing the final ball. He took Willock off and took Nico Gonzalez off, who'd had 71 minutes on his debut, brought on Sean Sturr, who continued where he sort of has left off, trying to play those progressive passes. But Nick Voldemort came on as well, despite all of the sort of speculation surrounding him at the minute, that there is still a chance that he may not be here come deadline day on Tuesday. But he came on, I thought it was the best he's looked in a while as well. And with his very first touch of the ball, 80 seconds after he came on, Lewis Hall crosses the corner at the back post. Voldemort heads it back across. And then Johan Wisser, who, I was thinking about this, he's had an issue, and he even had it on Wednesday, that as brilliant as he was against Liverpool, he still had that issue that he had towards the back end of last season, where he seems to lean back when he's through on goal, when he's facing towards the goal. But facing away from goal, lean back and then put the ball over your head, that worked quite well for him. And yeah, he was only 4 yards out, but managed to improvise the finish and get it above Kingsley and put two.
Improvised is a good word. The Athletic's live blog described it as acrobatic, which I thought was a bit much, but improvised is okay.
Yeah, I think improvised probably better for it. But you can see how delighted he was, and I think that's a big goal for him, because he'd obviously started the season as the 10 and was excellent against Liverpool, but he's moved to be in the 9 in this game because at the moment Willasula's out injured. He needed that goal. It was his first goal in 13 appearances, I think it was. It was his first Premier League goal of 2026. His only Premier League goal for Newcastle came at the back end of December of last year. And so, yeah, you could see how relieved he was and how much that meant to him. Newcastle had half chances to probably could and should have made it more. There were Harvey Barnes broke through at one stage. There was another moment in Alanga. I think it might have been still at 0-0 when Alanga got past Kinski. Had been played a wonderful ball from Lewis Hall, who I thought was excellent as well. I thought he was all over the pitch today.
And gave away zero penalties as well, which was good. To be fair, though, he has played three excellent games of football, and it was sort of getting slightly overshadowed by the penalties. Today was excellent again.
Yeah, and he made an important clearance later on from Solanke as well when he sort of backheel flicked it or sort of flicked it towards goal.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's difficult to pick out really a negative performance generally. I think that when I mentioned the clean sheets earlier, that is huge. The last time that Newcastle had kept a clean sheet was last time you and I did a podcast together in London, which was March the 14th at Chelsea. So that was nine games without a clean sheet in the Premier League. It's 11 in all competitions. So Eisler said afterwards, I asked him, you can hear his answer just now, about how important that moment was.
Yeah, it's a long time, so it was for sure a focus point, a big goal beforehand that we want to have that clean sheet. And you saw that in the first half when we didn't play a really good game, but we really could count on everyone throwing everything into every ball and every cross. And this is the commitment. This is the belief also that we can keep the clean sheet. So that makes me proud.
beyond that, it was also an away win for Newcastle, which have been precious for you as well. The last one was that Chelsea game that I've just referenced there. The only other Premier League one in 2026 was also at Spurs in February. They only had four across the entirety of last season away from home. Yeah, Matthias Geisler's first win in the Premier League as well. And a very big and important week for him as well. So I think that the more that you look at this week, in hindsight, the more positive you have to see it as. Yes, there are going to be bumps along the road, and Yasa said that afterwards, but I think for Newcastle to have started with positive momentum, we've seen over the last few seasons how important it can be to start well. From this point on, you've just got to look at it as hopefully these players are going to go in confidence. There's a quote from Jan Wisser after the game to BBC Sport where he talked about the appeal this summer, and he was very positive about Eddie Howe. So what I'm just about to say is not, he clearly wasn't trying to have a go at
Eddie Howe. He has noticeably mentioned Eddie Howe in some of these answers, which I think the idea maybe that he didn't like Eddie Howe is a bit wrong, because he does seem to make a point of mentioning him.
Yeah, and so he says that Eddie was brilliant for the club, but he says of all the change this summer that the manager is the best signing in his view. Yeah, you would probably say that in some ways, that you would praise your head coach, but there does seem to be a genuine camaraderie, and messaging people inside the club after the game, the immediate response was that just the feeling within the club, the feeling within the squad is just one of huge positivity right now, and that's great that you have that, because Geisler's been here less than a month still. You have to remember that. If you contrast it to Spurs and to Zerbi there, the back end of last season, he has the uplift of keeping them up, and they've had all that their change, and he's been there longer. And as I say, he's had players like Sandro Tonali since the start of pre-season, and yet they look very much like a work in progress, whereas Newcastle are a work in progress but look to already be a pretty decent team. And if they can add an attacking player, either Matias Fernandez Pardo and Lille, who they've been in talks with, Lille don't seem to, they're going to back down. They obviously don't need the money, haven't just sold Buadi to Man City for a heck of a lot of money, and so I don't think Newcastle want to do something that they would see as being irresponsible, having sorted out their financial position this summer, got themselves back into it to a decent position with UEFA, as far as they see. They don't want to put that in jeopardy. But if they can strengthen, if they can add that extra bit of guile, whether it's a number 10 in the sort of El Canoes is another player, look, now if it was someone like that, I think that you would look at it and think, oh, this Newcastle squad actually, whereas 2 weeks ago you'd be worrying about it, having added Nico Gonzalez and having added, if they can, an attacking player, I think Newcastle would look in a lot healthier position. And just to add on Nico Gonzalez, I did speak to Matthias Geisler after the game about him. He'd already commented that it was a very good debut, but then I asked him about the fact that he's seen as this metronomic passer, but the fact that he's played a couple of those crossfield balls, is that what Newcastle want to see more of moving forward? And this is what he said.
He showed that already today, that he can play both, and this is important that we are versatile. Otherwise, it would be too easy for our opponents to read what we are doing. So that's what I said also previously, that in the second half we found a good balance between staying in possession, also dominating the game in that phase, but also threaten them if there's any space behind. So, and Nico was a big element in that, but also then Sean Stöhr when he jumped in, and all the other substitutions, they were straight away in the game, really, really reliable. We could count on them, and that was the reason why we were winning that game today.
And yeah, for someone to have come in and played like that on the debut, very encouraging. But amongst the very encouraging other performances, we've said Dedic, Hall, Miley, Hornacek, centre-backs I thought largely played quite well, and Wisser I suppose getting the goal, Alanga getting the goal, a lot of positives.
Yeah, very positive. Everyone's happy, everyone's lifted a little bit. I watched the game on the telly, and I saw Matthias Geisler's post-match interview. He was also happy, although he made a point of saying that I'm not getting too high with the highs.
Good impression.
Thank you.
Sort of.
So he's... Interestingly, that feels like a continuation from Eddie Howe, and actually, and he mentioned this, he mentioned that his style of football suits the Newcastle DNA, he called it, if you like, the overarching principles of what the clubs are about. So while De Zerbi's been in charge of Tottenham for several months, and including a few games at the back end of last season, you wonder whether maybe he's trying to change things significantly, whereas what Matthias Geisler is he picked up what Newcastle already were, and he's sort of taken it on in his fashion, if you like.
I think that's a very interesting observation, and probably a very accurate one, because there's something that Yaisa said in one of his answers after the game as well, was talking about substitutions, and he sort of said that the way that we play we need to make sort of the substitutions that he did, and maybe certainly towards the end of Howe's time, one of the big criticisms was that he didn't. It was like formulaic the way he made substitutions, and then, but there is a sort of formulaic element to the way that Yaya does it, because the ones against West Brom, he basically admitted afterwards, were already he decided before the game largely they were going to happen. But it feels
it's pretty common that though in football these days, isn't it? Managers have an idea of what their subs are going to be even before the game starts.
Exactly, and I'm sure that for Nico Gonzalez it was probably you play an hour, 70 minutes, see how long he can last. Even Willock as well, he started midweek. Bring on Voldemort. But at the minute it feels more organic. That it feels like it's adding an energy to what they're trying to do. But yeah, clearly Newcastle have huge pace up behind. They have players who can play the ball in behind as well, and they have fullbacks who allow them to play how they want to play. The fact that Dedic has come in and done what he's done already, the fullbacks are essential to what Newcastle are trying to do. They were essential under Howe, and so many injuries over such a long period of time quite often really affected them. But the early signs of Dedic, the early signs of him in Hall, and then, I mean, people are seeing it almost as a negative. I see some people saying, oh, how's Livermore going to get back in this team? Well, I think that's a great problem for Newcastle. I mean, if you see it as a problem, that rather than, yes, they're short on fullbacks, but the fullbacks they have, theoretically, are of a very high standard. So,
and it also means that when Livermore does come back, maybe he doesn't have to play 90 minutes on his first trip back, and we all have seen the problems that he's had coming back from injuries.
Exactly, and either he or Dedic could play at left-back as well, and that allows Lewis Hall to not have to play every single match as well. Now, I know Newcastle's schedule isn't quite as hectic as it was before, but if Lewis Hall does get in the England squad, for example, then having those rests could be important. But yeah, just so many positive signs, whereas a few weeks ago you were scratching around looking at where are the sort of leaders in the team. For Newcastle to have come to Spurs, kept a clean sheet, got an away win, that should give them a lot of confidence, and players have stepped forward, I think, into that role. And Malik Chow captain again, Sven Botman looked better again. A couple of dodgy moments, but generally for him and for the other players, stepped up. And Lewis Miley doesn't look like a 20-year-old. Certainly looks like a seasoned midfielder, really.
Yeah, and it's you've got to be careful not to read too much into these things, but some players who maybe could be disappointed. So you've got Nick Voltimada as a substitute woman, ran onto the pitch and celebrated the first goal. He looked really happy about it. And also at the end, Bazemana Touré had a little bit of a set to with Pedro Porro, albeit he wasn't really engaging very much with Pedro Porro. But Jacob Ramsey, who has played 10 minutes, came over and said, hang on, you can talk to him. You can have a chat with me if you want.
And I think that rather than picking up on those necessary moments, I think I'd look at it as the players who aren't there anymore. And so Sandro Tonali isn't there anymore. And as much as I think Newcastle have lost, theoretically, a very good player, not a £100 million player in my view, and also clearly hasn't shown that yet for Spurs, he will get better because he is a very good player. He didn't want to be at Newcastle anymore, and people inside the club make a huge thing of that. And in the summer, at the point when Newcastle hadn't signed anyone, that seemed like something they were just pointing at. It's like, yeah, but actually, you know, you've lost a very good player here. How are you going to replace it? But when you've got Nico Gonzalez, who's come in and looks delighted with the environment, looks so pleased to be at Newcastle, the reception that he's received. And he's come from Man City, which I think Newcastle have looked at players at Man City before and worried about how they might make that transition from one to the other, given the sort of elite environment they're in there and the way that everyone acts there. And Anthony Gordon and those players who did back end of last season, that body language wasn't great, and so that filters throughout the squad. Whereas at the minute, hopefully there isn't so much of that there, and instead you've got players who want to be playing for it, want to prove a point, and others are stepping into the breach that they've had to.
So we've played Liverpool and Spurs away. You would have said there's a couple of fairly difficult tests. Maybe they weren't as difficult as they might be in mid-season, but everything's good. Bournemouth will be a real test next week, but they've got a week off to prepare for it.
Yeah, and it's not Eddie Howe's Newcastle facing Bournemouth, so you feel like they actually might have an opportunity to win the game because he simply couldn't win that match. That's a bit of a flipping point, but it's also true. And I think the next few days in the window will be interesting, because I think Newcastle, over the last couple of days, have tried to downplay expectations a little bit as to the likelihood of bringing someone in. That's partly because Lille are proving so difficult to negotiate with on Fernandez. Pardon, as I say, Newcastle don't just want to break the bank on it, but if they could bring in another attacking player, then that would really add to the momentum they feel like they've built up over the course of last week. They've had the training ground, they've had Nico Gonzalez coming in, they've had the positive start against Liverpool, they've got through against West Brom, and now they've come to Spurs and won, and it just feels, and Dedic as well coming in and making such an impact, it feels like things are building, things are on their side. And if they could get that, then suddenly that 12:30 kickoff, which is not an ideal time, as we know, necessarily to create an atmosphere, I think you would have a positive atmosphere for that game. But I don't think it's the be-all and end-all. I don't think Newcastle are doomed if they don't bring in an attacking player. But it does. I do feel that in some games, when they don't play against sides like Spurs, who will give you opportunities in behind, the sides you need to unlock, if they could have someone with that extra bit of creativity, that extra bit of ingenuity, then that really would set them up for what could be a far more positive season than I think many of us, including myself, feared it might be. But I am also riding on the crest of a wave of just seeing Newcastle win 2-0 at Spurs and Sandro Tonali looking very, very glum indeed. His body language wasn't great either, so he doesn't look like a happy person. Now, I'm not someone who's...
His body language never looks amazing.
No, it didn't. And I'm not wallowing in that because it's not a sort of personal sort of thing, but I just think that the way that I think Newcastle, a lot of Newcastle fans look at it, because it was Spurs, and that's why today felt so important as well, that for him to elect to leave Newcastle to go to Spurs. Newcastle did the deal because of the finances behind it and they were happy to take it in that regard, but from a point of view of going to a club who'd finished 17th in each of the last two seasons, making the decision to move there, theoretically one of Newcastle's rivals, a legacy Big Six club, but someone who it seemed Newcastle might have moved beyond, for Newcastle to have gone here and outperformed Tonali and outperformed Spurs, I think in the short, very short term at least, it feels like a big boost for everyone.
Definitely. Let's enjoy this week. The transfer window will slam shut on Tuesday night at 11 p.m. We are due to record a podcast just before that, so that should be interesting. In a way, we're just making trouble for ourselves there, but we'll do that. We're going to try and get into the rhythm of recording on Tuesdays, try and get a show with you on Wednesdays. It takes a little bit more time now that we have video as well, but we know that it's helpful for you to sort of have a rough idea of when it's going to be coming out. So hopefully that'll be with you Wednesday morning, and that'll be with Taylor and Chris and George, and we'll be happy regardless, won't we?
We will be happy regardless. I'll be interested to see how Taylor responds, because obviously we'll be throwing forward as well, but I'm sure that George and Taylor will want to have their little word about Sandro Tonali and today's match as well. So I'm interested to see that little smug look that will be on each of their little faces. So.
For now, from Liverpool Street, where we've been allowed to continue even though the police intervened, it is goodbye from Chris and it is goodbye from me, Ollie. Until next time.
Hello. Just recording a podcast about football today. We just talked about the football today. Yeah, all right, thanks. You remember where you were?
Yes.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what quality feels like. You can see it in the way a fabric moves, recognize it in a flawless fit, and appreciate it in the details that make our styles unique. It's the standard Coldwater Creek has honored for over 40 years, derived from a rich Mountain West heritage and designed for today in styles that are distinctively Coldwater Creek. For a wardrobe you can count on season after season, visit coldwatercreek.com. Shop new arrivals and save 15% on purchases $75 or more with code IHEART.